Shuiv Radio Fubal Car Kilkenig. This is Community Radio Kilkenny City.
Jadrus Kilkenny on Community Radio Kilkenny City, 88.7 FM for Top Class Sport.
Right, a very good evening. You're very welcome to Sunday Evening Talk Sport. This evening's programme, and we're looking back at the Alliance Hurling League and, of course, the All-Ireland Colleges Senior Hurling Final. Saw St. Kieran's win their 25th title. We'll also be checking in on the Pat Maher Shield, which was won by Freebooters. Checking in on all the soccer results as well. And indeed, we'll be looking forward to Greyhound racing. And Nicky Brennan is here with us. I held on to him. How are you, Nicky?
Fergie time is just after happening at Old Trafford as Manchester United have just scored a fourth goal, a howler from Liverpool conceding the ball in the middle of the field. And Mr. Ten Hag is not even smiling, but he's going to be in a cup semi-final draw in a short while.
It could be the saving goal. Could have been after saving his career.
Could very well be. Yeah. I don't know who scored it yet, but it was it was an error out the field and Creevin Keller had no chance.
Right.
Anyway.
Listen, Nicky, you were at the college's final, but what I want to talk to you about was the venue for the league semi-finals. A lot of dissatisfaction about this now. I was even talking to someone on the county board and they're not a bit happy. They figure that maybe toss home and away and the next time, whoever wins the toss, the next time off you go, you know.
Neither Thurles or Limerick, I think, are available.
Right, well, then come to Kilkenny the next time.
Which one? I think it's crazy what they're doing. Mm. Absolutely crazy. They won't that many go down from Kilkenny, to be honest, to Cork. The last time we went down there for that league match, now, admittedly, it was a 7:30 start. Mm. It was 12:30 in the morning by the time I was home, by the time you get out of there. Now, admittedly, I was able to park inside at the venue, so you have to pay a certain price if you get close to the venue from that point of view. So, no, certainly it was a crazy decision. What they could have done is, if they wanted it, they could have brought actually Kilkenny and Limerick. They could have even brought it to Tullamore. If they didn't want to play two matches in Portlaoise, they could have went to Tullamore.
Yeah.
I don't understand this. And it's only when I heard you saying it today, our man Corker played a football match after it.
Yeah, it's a curtain raiser to that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. We know they're probably getting the benefit of these games now because of the fact that Thurles is not available.
Yeah.
You possibly, in different circumstances, you might have a doubleheader in Thurles. So it wasn't available. But I agree with you what you're saying there, that they could have sort of said, well, will Limerick come up to Kilkenny this time and Kilkenny go to Limerick the next time?
Right. And I often wonder, actually, I'm beginning to wonder, what's wrong with playing games on Sunday anymore?
Well, it's very hard to know because, I mean, the bottom line is that... very little games on today.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Kieran's playing yesterday and we had the Kilkenny senior team playing the league yesterday. Crazy. I don't know what's wrong with Sundays anymore. A lot of it, Pat, is my understanding is I think TV is dictating an awful lot of it now anyway.
Yeah. Right, it seems to be, but how come, I mean, there was a glut of games yesterday, just even taking there was the hurling, there was football and there was rugby and there was everything and it was all on Saturday.
Yeah, well, they're all competing for the available slots and all that. And I mean, you see it today, it's very hard to get coverage in the Sunday papers. I mean, there was 9 pages of rugby in the Sunday papers. The GA stuff was, and it was only fitting into a couple of spots along the way, you know. So it's, from a GA perspective, it's not working out that well. Whereas if there was more GA today, they'd get more coverage on the Monday papers.
Yeah, okay. But look, there seems to be very little, I suppose, consideration for either supporters or counties.
Well, going to Cork next Saturday or not being very considerate of supporters on a 4:30 on a Saturday, I mean, it's a busy shopping day in Cork as much as everything else, trying to get into Cork and trying to, get parking and get into Park Eve. The venue and everything is perfect. The venue is absolutely top class, but the in and out of Cork has always been horrendous for people. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there was a need for it on this occasion. I think there was alternatives such as Portlaoise or Tullamore, in my view.
Right. You'd nearly be better off going to Croke Park.
Well, maybe so. United have won that match 4-3, by the way.
Jim yeah, right there,
he won't be happy, but Jim Cashin, we'll see what he has to say on Tuesday night.
Yeah, no comment.
You didn't get to see any of it.
I didn't get to see any of it, and I'm maybe glad I didn't.
4-3. It was a day off for the defences, was it?
Sounds like a game I want to go home and watch back. Yeah. Looks like an absolute thriller for the neutral, but there goes the quadruple hopes for a Liverpool point of view.
Yeah, listen, what were you thinking yesterday down in Watford?
First of all,
what about the goals we conceded? I mean, they were early on.
I was fierce annoyed with the first goal. Patrick Curran scored at Shane Bennett with a 65. And I didn't think there was an awful lot made of it afterwards. Now, I know it didn't get the same attention media-wise because it wasn't on television. But talking to people in the stand and leaving, they were all putting it down to conditions, which is a fair argument and a fair point. But just at senior inter-county level, the manner in which it was conceded was very, very poor. So I was disappointed with that. All in all, though, Pat, it was a non-event, really, because it was more, as I said in my report, it was more like water polo than the hurling. We didn't need a car going down to Waterford. We needed Noah's Ark because the conditions were absolutely abysmal. What you can take from it is very, very limited. I thought at times we hurled well, as did Waterford, but as has been the team in the league so far, especially from a Kilkenny point of view, patchy. We hurled well for 10-15 minutes, then we go quiet again, and same in the second half. And it's very hard to gauge where we're at the moment. I'll put it like this, I don't think we're any closer to Limerick than we were in the past 2 years.
Right.
And we were probably alongside Clare, the nearest teams to Limerick in the championship.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think we've gone a step any step closer. And I fear that Limerick haven't receded. So if we're looking at it from those glasses, we're no better off. But at the same time, it's league hurling. The pitch was diabolical, and that's no fault of anyone in Walsh Park. So what we can take from it, you take with a pinch of salt.
Right, and you only realised what the pitch was like when you walked out on it.
We were going across the post-match with Derek Ling, and myself and my colleague nearly slipped two or three times trying to cross the field.
Right.
So it was really, really slippy. Puddles in different spaces on the turf in Mudge Park as well. So if it was hard to walk across, I can't imagine what it was like to hurl in for 70 minutes. But look, they're senior inter-county hurlers. They're almost professional at this stage, so yeah. I'm sure they were able to cope. But tough on supporters. We were lucky we were underneath the stand. I can't imagine if you were in that bottom row what it was like to sit through it.
Yeah, yeah.
And another guy, actually, speaking of that, we mentioned it during our reports yesterday. What a pro Killian Buckley is. I counted 5 times he got the call to come down to warm up, you're going on, and he went back up. Then they obviously changed their mind, and I know that's common practice in senior inter-county hurling, but no shrug of the shoulders, no moaning, no giving out. What a pro he is to the Kilkenny team. And look, he did it numerous times during the championship last year, none more so than the Leinster final. To have that guy on the bench that knows he's not a regular starter, but to come in and be ready is, you know, it's a real sign that he's a top guy. And if we learn nothing on the field of play in 70 minutes, we learned about him off the field.
Okay, alright, we'll go to the report and the aftermatch reaction. Coverage of the Allianz Hurling League on Community Radio Kilkenny City is sponsored by Michael Ling Motors, Country Style Foods, JJ Kavanagh Sons and John Brennan Machinery. Community Radio Kilkenny City, number one for sport.
Kilkenny capped off their Allianz Hurling League campaign with a win on Saturday afternoon as they defeated Waterford in Walsh Park on a scoreline of 18 points to 2-9. And despite 2 first half goals from Waterford, Kilkenny edged the game for most of the match, with strong periods at the end of the first and second halves getting Derek Ling's side over the line. But really, it was the conditions that dominated play in Walsh Park, as the constant rain made the playing conditions almost impossible, with a game of water polo more suited than a game of hurling. Kilkenny started though brightly, racing into a 3 points to no score lead after 4 minutes. A brace from Luke Cogan, who made his second start of the league, along with a TJ Reid free, giving Kilkenny a bright start. Waterford did get going by the 5th minute, Shane Bennett opening their account, and the net was bulging just 2 minutes later in one of the strangest goals you're ever likely to see, and perhaps a goal that summed up the conditions both sets of players had to endure. A 65 from Shane Bennett, drop short, mishit. Patrick Curran though got his hurl on the end of it to touch it in from close range and send the ball crashing to the net past Owen Murphy. Owen Cody responded almost immediately with a point for Kilkenny, but Desi Hutchinson had the net bulging for Waterford by the 18th minute. Good combination play from the Dacia led to Desi Hutchinson striking low and hard into the back of Owen Murphy's net. That left the game at 2-3 to 4 points in favour of Waterford after 18 minutes. Both teams trying very hard to hurl in a game where the basics of the game of hurling weren't coming off. Kilkenny did finish the half the strongest, scoring 4 of the last 6 points. TJ Reid, John Donnelly and Kevin Blanchfield all on target for the Cats, while Mark Fitzgerald and Shane Bennett raised white flags for Waterford. At the half-time break, Waterford led on a scoreline of 2-5 to 9 points. Kilkenny upped their levels in the second half, but both teams took a while to get going. Owen Cody's 37-minute point, the only point in the opening 7 minutes. Jack Prendergast got Waterford going in the second half with a point, and further scores from TJ Reid between the 45 and 65 for Kilkenny, and a Shane Bennett strike for Waterford meant 10 minutes into the second half, the game stood at Waterford 2-7, Kilkenny 11 points. And 3 points from TJ Reid alongside Owen Cody meant after 51 minutes the teams were level at 2-7 to 13 points. Shane Bennett reinstated the Waterford lead by the 54th minute, but once Kilkenny got in front for the first time in the second half, they never let up. And by the 59th minute, it was 15 points to 2-8. Two scores from TJ Reid, one from play and one from a free, edging the Cats' noses in front. And they never let that lead go. Further scores from TJ Reid and Billy Ryan, who came on as a sub, cancelled out a late effort from Patrick Fitzgerald for Waterford, meaning Kilkenny left with the 2 points. So it's a league semi-final for Kilkenny and a place in Division 1B next season for Waterford. The full-time score, Kilkenny 18 points, Waterford 2-9.
I think in the first half, would have been disappointed with a couple of goals we conceded, and I thought as the first half went on, we got back into the game very well and we finished it well and kept going, which was really important. And look, I think that's the most important thing. I think in the second half we went at Waterford. It wasn't pretty and tough conditions for everybody, but just really happy with how we went about it and ground out the win. I think that was really important for us. We're looking at players and everybody's getting an opportunity and training very hard, but delighted to make the knockout stages. That's what we aim for at the start of the year, and look, obviously have a big game next weekend, but we look forward to that now.
You wouldn't have learned an awful lot today with the conditions, but still great to get him in match practice.
Yeah, well, I was delighted with the character of a lot of them, and because sometimes it's not an easy place to come and play, especially in conditions like today. So you're looking at somebody's character and how they go about it as well when things are not going their way. And I think that's the most pleasing thing, because everybody made mistakes there today, but what I was really happy with is that we kept going back for more, and that takes a bit of guts as well for a fella. So we want loads of that. We're going to make plenty of mistakes as it goes on. That's fine. Once the effort is there, we'll be happy.
League semi-final now to look forward to in a week's time, and obviously that's going to be a big test in itself.
Yeah, it will be, and we've a good few knocks in there now again, so we'll assess it. But look, again, it's about putting our panel together for next week in a team, and we look forward to that game, and it's great. That's what we want it to be. More tests.
Derek, what type of knock did Mikey Butler pick up?
It looks like an ankle. We'll have to have a look at it. Hopefully it's nothing too serious, and but we'll know more, I suppose, the next couple of days. Hard to get an assessment on it now.
Terry, how could you be analytical about that game? Yeah, you have to bring into consideration the conditions, which are absolutely atrocious, and there's a whole can of worms about playing hurling at this time of the year, Derek, doesn't it?
It does. Look, it's difficult. It is. You can see both teams are trying to play a good ball in. The ball's just sticking on the ground, and it's very difficult, and even trying to get a good strike, a clean strike, was a challenge today. Wet ball, but look, it wasn't really about that today. It was about just kind of showing up and just going at it, and I think you're just grinding it out. And
win is a win.
Yeah, look, we'll take that, and that's the most pleasing thing.
The only thing as well is that you kind of kept cool heads even though it wasn't working. I know the first half of the concession, the 2 goals, well, they came so quickly that rather than getting, I suppose, down about it, I mean, everybody kind of kept their heads up and kept trying to play the very good.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's what I said in the first half. They were kind of sucker punches at the time because we were playing reasonably well. We got the first few scores, but I was happy the way we finished the first half after conceding a couple of goals. And I think the way we went at it at the start of the second half, we went at it with a bit of purpose, a bit of intent, and that was important. It's all about getting ready for championship, of course, but that will help us. And we'll get another look at the team and look at players. And look, that's where you want to be in the knockout stages. That was the aim, and we're there now.
Chadwick's sponsoring Sunday evening Talksport on CRKC 88.7 FM.
Right, and that's the Allianz Hurling League. Kilkenny heading off down to Parkyqueen next Saturday, 4:30, against the All-Ireland champions, indeed the league champions, Limerick. Right, we're going to take a break and back then with concentrating on colleges hurling.
Chadwick's Kilkenny on Community Radio Kilkenny City, 88.7 FM for top class sport.
Okay, we're on to the All-Ireland Colleges Senior Hurling Final. and St. Kieran's College winning that one in extra time. Here's Nicky Brennan's report, followed by a chat with Brian Dowling, who's the Kieran's manager, and Loughrea manager Francis Ford.
St. Kieran's College had to dig very deep in Croke Park yesterday afternoon to win their 25th All-Ireland Croke Cup final against St. Fraithfield from Loughrea in a pulsating contest. It took 20 minutes of extra time to separate two fiercely committed teams, but in the end, the physicality of the winners plus a big help from their substitutes saw them eventually overcome their Galway opponents after an energy-sapping encounter. Kieran's, the reigning All-Ireland champions, went into yesterday's final as favourites, and for the opening 6 minutes of the game, they controlled matters in Croke Park. The Kilkenny College landed 2 points in the opening 2 minutes, the first from Ed McDermott after he won a breaking ball and the second from Aaron McAbee after he picked up a break off Sean Hunt. Kieran's landed a 3rd point in 6 minutes when Aaron McAbee pointed a free after Ed Lahoff had been fouled. St. Raphael started with an extra defender and barred the opening few minutes, their defence gradually got to grips with the Kieran's attack. They also opted to land down high balls in the direction of impressive centre-forward Paddy McCorrick, and his ability to pluck the slitter out of the air was a big factor in bringing his side back into the game. He landed his team's 1st score in 7 minutes after one such catch. The Galway school had a big let-off in 8 minutes when Kieran's almost got in for a goal, their only goal-scoring chance in the first half. Sean Hunt made great headway along the end line before passing to Rory Glynn, but before the Clara lad could strike the ball, referee John Keenan blew for an illegal hand pass. A Bobby Feeney free for St. Raphael's left a minimum between the sides, but James Hughes, who had a superb first half for Kieran's, landed the first of his 3 points in 11 minutes, with Ed Lahoff adding another 1 minute later to see the winners ahead 5 points to 2. By that stage, Kieran's were already starting to ratchet up the wides. Some were undoubtedly due to tenacious tackling from their opponents, but a lot were down to some very inaccurate shooting. The Kieran's wide tally over the 80 minutes was 24-6 for their opponents. Had the Kilkenny College landed a quarter of those chances, the winning margin would have been much greater, with extra time unlikely to have been necessary. Aside from Paddy McCorrick causing plenty of challenges for the Kieran's rearguard, corner forward Vince Morgan was also proving a handful. He scored a delightful point on 15 minutes. Down at the other end of the pitch, the Kieran's attack was struggling for possession, partly due to poor delivery of the ball from out the field, when players were often in two minds as to whether they should shoot from distance or send in a long delivery. Some of the Kieran's passing was a bit ragged at times also. Rory Glynn was proving a big threat to the St. Raphael's defence from an early stage, and he finally got a good delivery before controlling the sitter superbly to land a point as the game entered the second quarter. For 12 of those minutes in that second quarter, St. Raphael's dominated the game. Paddy McCorrick almost slipped in for a goal in 16 minutes, but the Kieran's defence was finally breached 4 minutes later when Vince Morgan won possession and raced through to score the game's only goal. There was little Stephen Minogue could do about Morgan's brilliantly struck shot, when Luke McInerney and his midfield partner Colin Killeen landed a brace of points almost immediately for the Loughrea College. They now led by 3 points. Kieran's were briefly under the cosh, but they finished the first half brilliantly with a 3-0 of points from Sean Bergen up from cornerback, James Hughes and an Aaron McAvoy 65 to see the team's level at the interval. Kieran's 10 points, St. Raphael's won 7. St. Raphael's retook the lead at the start of the second half when Vince Morgan pointed. Kieran's had a goal chance just after that, but Aaron McAvoy's shot was well saved by St. Raphael's goalie Sean Murray. 2 minutes later, the Loughrea College almost bagged a second goal, but Stephen Minogue brilliantly saved from Vince Morgan, pushing the ball out for a 65, which was sent wide. It was a big let-off for Kieran's. Rory Glynn was becoming more and more influential as the second half progressed. Once he started getting no deliveries into his corner, his deft touch was causing endless problems for the St. Raphael's rearguard. Sean Hunt was another Kieran's attacker to come much more into the game in the second half. A 9-point haul from play from Glynn 4 and Hunt 5 was vital to the winners. The sides were still level in 50 minutes, with the game ebbing and flowing from end to end. The exchanges were tough but fair, with the standard never waning from two well-coached teams. With 10 minutes remaining, it was hard to predict a winner. Such was the closeness of the exchanges. Bobby Feeney a free, Paddy McCorrick and Oscar O'Gorman edged St. Raphael's ahead once again, and now the momentum was with the Galway College. But a powerful finish saw Sean Hunt land 3 points for St. Kieran's, with Colin Killeen responding for St. Raphael's. Kieran's now led by the minimum, with the game entering injury time, but a free to Loughrea saw Bobby Sweeney tie the game and send it to extra time. Two tired teams trekked off the Croke Park pitch for a short break. Now who would emerge the fresher for the extra 20 minutes? Aaron McAvoy, Kieran's and Vince Morgan, St. Raphael's exchanged early points at the start of extra time, but throughout those 20 minutes, Kieran's were the better side, even if they continued to hit far too many wides. Points from Rory Glynn, Ed Lahoff and sub Bill McDermott saw Kieran's lead by 3 points at half-time in extra time. Paddy McCorrick reduced the margin to 2 points at the start of the second half of extra time, but Kieran's now had a good grip on the game. Another sub, Keelan Brennan, sighted at full forward, landed 2 points, with Aaron McAvoy also landing a brace, one from a free. St. Raphael's kept pressing, but strong play from Tom McPhillips, Ed Lahoff and Rory Glynn, who now was working back in defence in closing stages, saw Kieran's clinch a deserved win by 5 points at the finish. Hard-fought victories, especially in All-Ireland finals, are probably best remembered of all the successes, and everybody involved with Kieran yesterday will have fond memories of their 25th title. They were the better team, but huge credit to St. Raphael's for a dogged battle. Had Kieran shown more accuracy in front of goal, the mentors and supporters would likely have enjoyed a less stressful afternoon in Croke Park. 25 of the Kieran's panel depart the college in a few weeks with a Croke Cup medal, some with two after last year's success also. Yesterday's victory will long be remembered for the quality of the hurling from both sides, plus immense effort and commitment from two brilliantly coached teams. Well done to the Kieran's players and their mentors, Brian Dowling, Michael Walsh and Richie Root. Final score from Croke Park, St. Kieran's College 26 points, St. Raphael's College Loughrea 1 goal and 18 points. Brian Dowling, I suppose relief is probably the overriding thing here today, but congratulations, 25th title for Kieran's. I think deservedly won in the end, but you were put to the pin of your collar.
Yeah, we certainly were, Nicky. Look, absolutely delighted. I suppose the aim coming up here is to win that cup. We would obviously like to do it in an easier fashion, but look, I think the lads found a way there eventually. After normal time, I think it was probably a fair result to draw. But extra time, I thought we were the better team for that 20 minutes. I think, you know, we hit a huge amount of wides. I think it was 25 or 6 wides, which we'd be very disappointed with. But look, we got there somehow, and it's a sweet victory now, even though it didn't feel it at the time.
They played very well. I think tactically they played it cute. They played a bit of a sweeper back. We struggled to get the ball in behind them, and they were prepared to take the ball on and take on the Kieran's defence at times. And they really tactically, I thought, played smart hurling there.
Yeah, I suppose, look, against Orskill Reach, we tried to leave space for Sean Hunt and Rory Glynn inside. And look, I suppose, obviously, they watched that match and learned a lot from it. Every time we win the ball, their half back line were dropping back in front of them. We didn't use it enough. You know, we didn't hit our half forward line enough in space. They were on their own. And look, you can't really get messages during the match. You have to wait till half time to try to sort it out. But again, I suppose if we took them chances, things would have been a bit different. But look, Raphael's were unreal today. They put it really up to us. They were brilliant, he said. You know, it was a great game. John Keane let it go, let it flow. And look, it was a good game of hurling. And we're just so happy now we've number 25 in the bag.
Now, obviously, the amount of wides was incredible. You were told that before the game. You'd have pulled your hair out altogether. But to be fair to Raphael's, a lot of those wides were because Kieran's players were being put under pressure striking.
Yeah, they put us under serious pressure. You know, every time Rory Glynn got the ball and Sean Hunt, there was bodies around him. You know, they got bodies around him. And, you know, that's what you have to do. Look, All-Irelands aren't easily won, you know, no matter what grade. You have to work for everything. We probably got here a little bit easy maybe along the way, but we knew coming up it was going to be a battle. We hope we got the job done in 60 minutes. We didn't. But look, I said to the lads after 60 minutes that free could have been the winner for them, and we would have left here absolutely devastated. So look, we got there in the end, and we're just so thrilled now.
Now, you had to use your bench a fair bit today at various stages, and it showed how important that was.
Yeah, look, we have a lot of quality there, and I suppose some lads probably thought they were never going to get a game today, and it just shows you that you have to be ready. You know, the likes of Keelan Brennan there hadn't got much game time all year, and he came on, he got 2 brilliant points, and you know, that's what was important about getting the victory today. And look, I suppose we're lucky that we do have a lot of lads there that can hurl, that can come on, and look, I thought all the subs that come in were brilliant.
And of course, when it went into extra time, what were your thoughts at that stage? Speaking to Francis Ford, he kind of felt at that stage that the odds were favouring Kieran's being the physically stronger team.
Yeah, I thought, look, we'd stay going, but I suppose it's hard to know because lads were going down with cramp all over the place. I just felt we needed to get a couple of points up. We couldn't get that 3 or 4 up. I think once we got to 4 up, I was happy. I thought we'd push on then, and thankfully we did. Look, we finally found a way around them. I said it took us a long, long time to do it, but we got there. Look, there's 25 lads off that panel gone now. They're an absolute credit to the school and their families. You know, they've been a dream to work with this year. We've thrown absolutely everything at them, tactically, physically, you know, and they've come back the whole time. They're absolutely brilliant lads. Some of them are leaving now with 2 All-Ireland medals in their back pocket, and you know, they can be so proud of themselves.
Rory Glynn to win the man of the match for 2 years in a row, that's a nice accolade to have as you leave your Kieran's College.
Yeah, it's unreal. Look, Rory is top class. Just, you know, he couldn't be a nicer young lad. His character, his attitude, everything about him is just unreal. Like, if you went back and look at that match, his work rate is always top drawer. You know, he gets in hooks, he gets in blocks. You know, he might be small, but that man is a heart of a line. I don't know what he scored there out there today, but he can score from right and left, tight angles. Look, he's an absolute super player. Some achievement getting two man the matches in 2 All-Ireland finals.
And towards the end of the match, when Kieran's were coming under some a little bit of pressure, who was down on the half-back line ferreting out the ball in the middle of the ruck? Rory Glynn.
Yeah, look, we wanted to keep him inside, but we just said we need his energy around the middle, and we put him out half forward. And again, I thought he was brilliant out there. We tried it early on in during the year, but he was so good inside, we didn't want to take him out. And look, he's such a goal threat and such a presence inside. Look, we brought him out. We needed someone to get on the ball. And I said, there was Rory winning rucks and stuff like that. So I think he went off three or four times as a blood sub with blood injuries, but he kept coming back in each time, you know, and that was great.
Francis Ford, coach of St. Raphael's Loughrea. It was a tough finish for you, I know, but my God, tactically, you did so many things right in that game.
Yeah, we did. Look, Nicky, we knew, obviously, we were up against it from the very start. But I suppose what we wanted out of our lads was, number one, that if they were going to have a chance, they were going to have to give it absolutely everything. And I think, to be fair, they did that. I think there's no doubt in that. We put bodies on the line. We played with huge heart. But I thought we played also some smart hurling at times, which is, I suppose, what we pride ourselves on. But we knew that kind of the hurling we'd like to play was going to come under an awful lot of pressure, more pressure than ever before when you're playing a team like Kieran's. And that's exactly what happened. We had our times in the game. Kieran's had their periods where they dominate and probably hit a lot of wides, but our lads just kept hunting and chasing and stuck in the game, and thought we definitely deserved to take it extra time based on our commitment to the game as much as anything else. And I think in extra time, maybe Kieran's extra strength and depth as much as anything, and they're maybe having a lot of lads in the older age bracket, shall we say, probably told, but you know, they found that bit of freedom and got some good scores in extra time.
I think that's a very good summary. But I think your lads tactically, I thought you spread the game out very well. They worked hard for one another, and when they saw an opening, they were quickly able to exploit Kieran's through those openings.
Yeah, look, we knew we'd have to move the ball really fast and you know, not take it into the tackle and try and just use the space in Croke Park to, you know, as best we could. And there was certainly times we did that. There was times we found that difficult because we were meeting a very, very good team, Nicky. But yeah, you know, my overriding emotion right now is pride in the way the lads performed, because you've seen over the years, Nicky, so many teams come to Croke Park number one, come to play Kieran's number two, and maybe wilt under that kind of pressure. Our lads grew in it, I think, and that's a great characteristic to have in a team, and for the individuals it's a great way to be. And look, we'll take pride. It's hugely disappointing at the moment because we ran them so close and the opportunity was there for us. But as I said, the override emotion is pride at the end of the day now.
Now, in normal time, the game was there. Either team could have won it in normal time. Now, I agree with you. I think extra time was fair, but you could have pulled it in extra time. Kieran's were in a spot of butter. I know you had to get the last score, but Kieran's were under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, they were, and I thought any time that Vince Morgan inside got his hands on the ball, he was a real threat. And probably in that second period, we just didn't get the ball into him enough times, and sometimes he was outnumbered, but he got some incredible scores and he was always that threat. And yeah, we definitely could have come out the right side in normal time, but funnily enough, Nicky, heading into extra time, we already had a few lads, you know, beginning to struggle under the physical strain as much as anything, and I think that strength and depth did tell. But yeah, certainly the opportunities were there, and they're the ones that maybe we look back on with a little bit of regret, but you know, that's the game, isn't it?
I thought going into the second period, the second half extra time, Kieran's looked to be struggling and cramps a little bit, and but it was, they came out the best, and a couple of the subs did well. Keelan Brennan at full forward got a couple of points, and Rory Glynn Forage back and won a lot of very valuable ball.
Yeah, Rory's a fantastic hurler. It's funny when you're doing your bit of analysis on Kieran's and the great strength and physicality and all of that, but probably their two smallest players are fantastic hurlers. Jeff is a fantastic hurler, but Rory, you know, he was a threat all day. And I thought within that, like, Jason, our cornerback, did very well on him for long periods, and Gavin did really well on him, but, you know, sign of a good player, Rory still came up with the scores.
Right, so there you had match report and the after-match reaction from the two managers. And Nicky, I suppose the power of Kieran's in the end told.
It did, but in normal time it was dead tight, Pat, as I said in my report. Could have gone anyway, but a few Kieran's players kind of pushed on in the second half big time. Sean Hunt, Rory Glynn, all through the game, really. Ed LaHoff, that was excellent in the middle of the field. Tom McPhillips, Deborah Key, and Stephen Minogue made a brilliant save, putting a ball around the post that could have nearly gone into the corner. So look, it was a collective. It was the collective team for Kieran's, I think, was what has been the hallmark of the side this year. And they were. And yesterday they had to really press their bench with Bill McDermott, James O'Neill, and Keelan Brennan especially coming in. They're the three lads who all made an impression. And ultimately, when it went to extra time, Kieran's had the power and the energy, and the other chaps just didn't have it in the end. But they made a fair batch of it, and tactically, Freddie Ford got an awful lot of things right yesterday. He knew where he had to kind of go at Kieran's, and they made a powerful job of it, and he was disappointed. He knows that it was one that they, in normal time, they could have done it, but I think in extra time, there was only going to be one winner.
Okay, and man of the match, Rory Glynn. Man of the match, 2 years in a row. Bit of a record, I'd imagine, but anyway, here he is.
Congratulations, Rory. 2 years in a row winning man of the match. That's some way to finish your time in Kieran's.
Oh, it's unbelievable, yeah. It's a great way to lift it now as well as the win, of course.
You got a hell of a few knocks there as you were going off for blood subs, and every now and again I see a few scars, but you don't even feel them when you win the match.
I know, when you're in a moment like that, I suppose the adrenaline keeps you going. There wasn't a dirty stroke in the whole game as well. Like, it was just a clean match, just hard hits. And
but, I mean, they gave you some match of it for a long, long time.
Oh, they were brilliant, yeah. We knew what they were going to bring, and they brought exactly that. They were tough the whole way through, and they stepped up to us.
Yeah, well, I must say yourself, especially in the second half and in extra time, you love that ball coming in low because you're able to turn like on a sixpence.
Ah, yeah, I suppose. I wouldn't be the biggest lad now, so the high ones wouldn't suit me anyway.
Yeah, but it certainly, and in the second period of extra time, as I said to Brian Dowland, geez, we're down even in the half back line winning ball. I suppose if you have to do it, you have to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I went out on the wing, so I was out around there, and I just kind of picked up whoever was loose, and we all kind of just done our bit, done the job.
It was energy sapping going into extra time. Certainly you all felt a little bit tired, but so did Raphael's.
Yeah, we were out on our feet, like, but we knew however tired we were, they were the same, like, so it was just about determination and just get over the line, dig deep.
Well done, Rory. Stars performances begin.
I just want to say best of luck to my uncle. He's unwell at the minute. He couldn't make it here, so I know he'll be watching.
Sean, I'd say you're exhausted after that. That was energy sapping.
Yeah, oh my God. I've never been as sore after a match now, to be honest with you. But like, it took us, what, two bits of play after that, and we pulled through, and it's a credit.
Certainly were... they were very strong in the whole throughout the normal time, and they put you to the pin of your collar. What was said to you at half time?
We just said at half time, like, this is our last time playing with Kieran's, and what do we want to make the most of it. Like, it's our last time in this jersey, and what we want to get out of is an All-Ireland, and thankfully the boys pulled through, and the management, unbelievable stuff.
What did you think yourself when the game went to extra time? Were you happy, or did you feel you had enough in the tank to win it in extra time?
To be honest, it's actually what Jeff said in the dressing room, was like, where else would you rather be? You get to play longer in Croke Park, and we just took that on, and you know, we got an extra 20 minutes in Croke Park that some of us might never get, and we took the opportunity, and thankfully we won.
Sean, you've been banging them over the bar all year and banging in goals. You got a few great points today. You'll remember this occasion for a long time to come.
Yeah, this is a very sweet one now, in fairness, and especially like lads you've been going to school with for the last 6 years, your best friends, and to make such memories now is unbelievable.
Two All-Irelands, I know you came out as a sub last year, to leave Kieran's with two All-Irelands. There's a lot of former players who left Kieran's, never got to even win one.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable, and it's a credit to the three boys, Mr. Walsh, Richie Root and Brian Dowland, and in fairness, the whole school, everything they do for us, you know, staying back after at lunchtime to help us with school if we miss matches and stuff like that. So they're unbelievable. It's just great to be part of it.
Now you'll be happy to go back to St. Mark's now for a bit of a rest.
Yeah, Cheddar will have me working in the morning now. I'd say he'll probably have a programme for me to do in the morning, so I'm delighted now.
I think it's a rest you want now. Well done, Sean.
Thanks very much, Dickie.
Two James Stevens lads here, delighted with themselves. Stephen Minogue. Stephen, they got one goal on you, but it was the first all year. You've had a brilliant year in goal for Kieran's. How did you see that match from the position you were in?
I suppose, yeah, the backs did very well, and I suppose first goal all year, but it was always going to come, really, a goal, and luckily now the backs kept them out for the rest of the game, and thank God they only got the one anyway.
Sean Bergen, you were under a fair bit of pressure at times, Sean. They had some tough forwards, but you did brilliant to defend it.
Yeah, look, Rayfield's a great team. They have some smashing forwards, but we just stuck to our plan. We started working out the ball in the first half and the second half, and then we just kept them out and got a few scores in the end.
Going into extra time, Stephen, were you concerned at that stage?
No, not really. We knew we had the fitness. We'd be doing a lot of hard training all year, and we knew how it had the subs also, so thank God we got over the line, yeah.
Sean, they were very strong in the air. I mean, they were fielding, the centre forward in particular, Paddy McCarrick, was fielding a lot of ball there. That was causing a little bit of bother, but you got to grips with it eventually.
Yeah, we were looking at him there last day. He got 7 or 8 points from play, so we knew we had lads. Carl Hickey was there catching balls after puckouts, and we were able to handle him there for a while and quieting him down a bit.
Great way to finish, Stephen, your time in Kieran's. Two All-Ireland finals, two in Croke Park. You'll remember these couple of years.
Yeah, it's brilliant now to finish with two All-Irelands. You're going to have these memories for life, and it's great to do with your schoolmates and friends, so I'm delighted now, yeah.
Well done, Sean and Stephen, and good luck to you, and good luck to James Stephen.
congratulations, Tom McPhillips. God, you've put in a tough year with injuries, Tom, to come back and win another All-Ireland. No, you must be delighted.
I don't think words can actually explain how happy I was. I've never been so nervous at full time going into extra time in my life. I was actually nearly shaking inside. And the relief to go over the line is honestly.
Did you think the game was, you were under pressure going into extra time?
I thought we had them with 2 minutes to go in the normal time, and then going into extra time, I was like, I don't know about this now. I think that was our moment gone, but in fairness to the lads, when they came on, the subs, they fucking pushed us over the line, so.
You've had a lot of injuries, Tom, over the last year. Did you ever doubt that you might get back to this level?
Well, when I'd done my shoulder now, there was a few doubts with me, Ryan, but in fairness to all the physios, they got me back full fit, so. I'm buzzing to be back in Croke Park. Like it's unreal.
Yeah, now obviously you had to really work hard, but I think the strength of the team in extra time told today.
Yeah, the lads on the bench done the job when they came on, and we were laying on them because we needed them. Like, lads were camping up, the ground was very heavy, and in fairness, the subs deserve a lot of credit.
What is it like to win two All-Irelands in Croke Park now to wrap up your time in Kieran's?
Oh my God, I don't think words can actually explain. Like, I was coming up here today, and I was thinking, like, I hope we get over the line, but there's something in the back of my mind, it's like, I don't know, and the fact you could do it extra time as well makes it all the sweeter.
You'll be looking forward to going back to the Burren after a little bit of a rest.
I know, yeah, maybe we'll go to a few CBS lads there, but anyway.
And you won't be too hard on
them. No.
Well, I have Greg Ballycallan, Joe here, and had a big bus up there today. We'll give pride of place to the team captain, Jeff Nary. Jeff, a wonderful achievement to captain the team in an All-Ireland final in Croke Park. You'll remember today.
Oh, geez, yeah, it was a brilliant day there today now. And it was all the sweeter now with a tough battle. Like, you had to win that, so it was unreal now, win by only a couple of points after extra time.
And you had to work very hard to win that.
Oh, it was absolutely so tough now. There was one of our toughest games all year, I'd say. And it's just brilliant to come out on top now after a tough game like that.
Well, Aaron McAvoy, you were in great form from the freeze today. Hugely important in a game that was so tight to pop them over the bar. Did you feel any pressure taking them, Aaron?
No, not really. Now, I normally suffer with nerves a bit of time taking the freeze, but today was a bit of a different story, I suppose. The first one went over, so I kind of got a bit of confidence from that. And look, what happened after that was what happened, like.
Yeah, you had to work extraordinarily hard. I mean, they certainly put you to the pin of your collar, and the game could have went anyway in normal time.
They did. They put it to the collar. We weren't really expecting them to come as hard as they did, and look, we just started popping over the scores in the second half, and it was tit for tat. And obviously extra time then, your man got the free at the end, and half time we were up by 2 points, I think it was, and thank God we drove on in the end, and delighted to get out the victory.
Jeff, when it went to extra time, you know, I know you gave a good rousing address here in the dressing room, egg them on here. Were you had any concerns, or did you feel you had something in the tank to still win that game?
Oh no, we're a strongly built team now. I thought we had the fitness over them, and we were just happy to play another 20 minutes in the Kieran's jersey, so we had to push on from that and make the most of it now, because we were lucky enough to get another 20 minutes, and thankfully we did.
Two All-Irelands in Croke Park, one year after the other, and you leave Kieran's this year. They're lovely memories to go with.
Yeah, it was brilliant memories now. It was unbelievable now last year, and then even better this year now, especially when you're in sixth year. Like, I think it means a little bit more to you because it's one of your last games ever for Kieran, so it was unreal.
Now, Aaron, same with you. You wrap up Kieran's this year, club colleague of Jeff's. You were playing great stuff in the senior championship last year. Now a lot of the lads you were playing with today are going to be your opponents throughout the club scene in Kilkenny, so you have to get used to that as well.
We will, I suppose, but I will. We're a very tight-knit group. We're like a family in here, but I suppose when we go back to the clubs and start playing against each other, it's a different story because we both want to get the win. But I know we're a very tight-knit group, and if it comes to that, I suppose that's what it is like.
Chadwick's Kilkenny, supporting Community Radio Kilkenny City Sport on 88.7 FM. Chadwick's sponsoring Sunday evening talk sport on CRKC 88.7 FM.
Okay, and local soccer, and the Pat Maher Shield final took place last night. That was down in Thomastown, and Freebooters coming away 3-2 winners over Evergreen FC. Liam Kelly O'Rourke caught up with Shawnee Dyle of Freebooters.
We're absolutely thrilled to retain the Shield, our third in a row now, so hopefully it'll help us going forward with the rest of the league and the McElroy Cup, but it's nice to have one trophy already, no matter what happens the rest of the year. It's nice to have one. Started really well. In fairness, Evergreen were probably on top in the first 5 or 10 minutes, but we scored a really good goal through Jim Ryan across from Jenny Holden, and he volleyed into back post. We seemed to be in control, and then we scored an OG, unfortunately, to equalise, and then Evergreen scored a really, really good goal. Their centre midfielder put it into the net. And the best thing for our point of view was we didn't panic and we didn't let our heads drop. And right on the stroke of half time, Jamie Holland equalised for us. So at least we were going into the dressing room on a level par, you know.
Between league football and Shield and Cup football over the last couple of seasons, you're very familiar with each other. You've been neck and neck in the league standings and in the other competitions. Yeah. But just to get that psychological advantage over them on this occasion, it won't do you any harm going into the last couple of games in the league season. And is it a little bit like a monkey off your back now?
It is, Liam. I agree with everything you said there. I know we won the last couple of Shields, but to beat Evergreen in one... obviously gives us a great boost going forward because they're a really good team. But in the second half, I thought we really, really performed really well and were on the front foot. There wasn't too many real chances for either team in it, to be fair. Two good, really good defensive displays from Lee Delaney for them and David Rice from us. But we always knew, everyone knows we're dangerous at set pieces, and I have to be fair, Eddie Nugent put in an absolutely fantastic corner and Chris Phelan got in at the back post with a header. But I think our subs made a huge difference. We had a really good bench last night, Harry Jordan and Jason Hennessy. The unfortunate thing is we probably lost Emmett Nugent for the rest of the season with another injury. But yeah, it'll help beating Evergreen in a final. Now, that won't win us that, but it'll help us going forward in the last few league games and the McAlmont Cup.
And I know you were talking to Jack on Tuesday night and you said if this game had been 2 or 3 weeks previous, it could have been a different game altogether. So having your full cohort absolutely available is important.
Yeah, we wouldn't have had Emmett or Harry and there was another Dion Fitz who came on. He was away working and the last kick of the game, he actually made a brilliant clearance off the line to win it for us. So we needed everyone and we used all our subs. But a couple of weeks ago, we were going into league games with 13 and 14 players through injuries and lads working, so it came at the right time for us. But as well as that, we performed really well in the second half on the night.
Going into the last couple of games now, Shawnee, and I know there's been an awful lot of outside competitions for yourselves and Evergreen over the last couple of weeks, a very good problem to have, but how does it leave you looking now in terms of domestic football? Does it put you under any pressure to get fixtures out of the way, and does that mountain of games that you're going to face into, is that a good or a bad problem to have?
We're not too bad, Liam. We have, I think over the last six league games, we have four or five of them at home, and we play on a Saturday night, so... It gives us that extra break, being off on the Sunday when we're at home. It does catch up with you. I mean, the two teams were absolutely shattered at the end of the game last night because it was played at some pace. I have to say the officials were very, I have to mention them, Derek Brennan and the two linesmen were really, really good and controlled the whole game the whole way because they're very vital. Games where the line are shouting in and the managers, vociferous games, and there we go. But look, I think it's a good thing when you win something, train, they'll be brilliant Tuesday night now, they'll be bouncing in, and hopefully we can keep it going, Liam. We've hopefully another few McAlmont Cup, we've another tricky assignment with Armand Villa again on Sunday, and then we have a weekend off, we have a lad getting married, so we took that weekend off. So that'll give us a bit of a break as well.
Lastly then, Shawnee, obviously the AstroTurf and the lights down in the Fair Green has been a huge addition. The dynamic of Saturday night football and on certain weekends maybe having the game played and out of the way before an Evergreen might play on a Sunday morning, it seems like a huge advantage in a couple of different ways.
Yeah, we've decided, we asked the players and we asked the league when we got the lights, is it a possibility to play on a Saturday night? And they said absolutely. And I think going forward, you'll probably see a lot more teams doing it. Now that facility in Thomastown is fantastic. I think it was the first big game played. I know they've played a couple of friendlies on it, but a really good crowd at it on a Saturday night. The weather has held up, so I commend Thomastown. Lovely, lovely set up there. But I think going forward, you'll see a lot more clubs playing on a Saturday night.
And
a lot of youngsters want to be, you know, yourself, Lee, they want to be out Saturday night and off Sunday, so... hopefully, well, it suits us at the moment. That's, I can only worry about our own, that it suits us. As I was saying to Jack on Tuesday night, I follow the Leinster Senior League because I have a nephew playing with Port Leash, but if you go on their app on a Saturday night, there could be adding up to 20 or 30 matches taking place. It just gives you the, if you know you have something coming up, you could arrange with the other team maybe to play it on even a Friday night or a Thursday night, you know, where you're not getting free weekends and calling off games. It's just another avenue to keep playing. But I think you're right. I think in a couple of years it's going to be, in 90% of the leagues will be Saturday night football, in my opinion, I think.
John Riggs Kilkenny, supporting Community Radio Kilkenny City Sport on 88.7 FM.
All right, that's a great win there for freebooters. We're on to handball and Kieran Nari. Bit of success over the weekend, was there?
Yeah, we were up in Croke Park there yesterday, Pat, in the National Handball Centre. A brilliant day. Action got underway there at 11 a.m. and unfortunately the first game on the day was the girls under 16 doubles, and there was defeat there for Niamh Drennan and Orla Duggan. They lost out to strong Clare Pearn in two straight games. Could have easily snuck the second game and forced a tiebreaker, and momentum might have been with the girls in the final, but in the tiebreaker. But unfortunately they lost out 21-15, 21-19. Then in the girls under 15 singles, there was a brilliant win from Shauna Hayes from the Kells Club. She defeated Clare 15-13, 15-14, so two tight games. Then there was win for Kate O'Brien and Maya Egan from the Wyngap Club. They won the first 15-1, and then the second game was very tight, but they held their nerve excellently to win 15-14. Then there was defeat in the boys under 14 doubles for Mashi Carr and Darren McCormack from the Kells Club. They got off to a slow start against Jack Hennessy and Sean D from the Liscarroll Club in Cork, but they fought back and could have forced a tiebreaker, just lost out 15-14. So they'd be disappointed not to force the tiebreaker, and momentum was swinging with the lads. They were really growing into that game, and they'd be disappointed not to get to the tiebreaker, but they had a great run through Leinster and the All-Ireland series. Then there was victory as well for the girls under 14 doubles for Shauna Doherty and Sophie McCabe from the Kilfinane Club, defeated Tyrone 15-11, 15-13. Then there was defeat then in the boys under 16 doubles where Timmy Carr and Conor Minogue lost out to a strong pair from Clare. Mark Rogers' younger brother, the Clare starting forward and young hurler of the year, his brother Paul Rogers, and from Clare, they lost out in two straight games as well. And then there was defeat for Sean Morrissey and Dan McCormack. They lost out to Tyrone in the boys under 17 doubles, 21-15, 21-12. And then in the boys under 16 doubles, there was defeat as well, Pat, for Andrew Brennan from the Todd's Inch Club. He lost out to the Monaghan player Callum Sherry. He won the first 21-8, but credit to the Monaghan player, he came back fighting in the second one, 21-18, and then he won the tiebreaker 11-2. So nine finals on the day, Pat, and Kilkenny came home with three gold medals. Probably we would have been hoping for a few more, but look, on the day, everyone gave it their all in the Kilkenny jersey, and that's all you can ask for. And I know they'll be disappointed, but they're all at a young age where they can go back now to their clubs, learn and try learn from the day, put in the training and come back next year and try, or even in the 6x30, and try get over the line and win in All-Ireland.
All right, Kieran, your thoughts on Kilkenny going down to Cork to play Limerick League semi-final next Saturday?
Yeah, it's a very strange venue, Pat, to be honest. If anything, you'd nearly be saying O'Moore Park would have been the ideal venue for that one, and Parky Cueve for Clare and Tipperary. But look, it's not great, Pat. 4:30 on a Saturday afternoon down in Parky Cueve. Like, I don't know, it's a very strange venue now. And but look, Kilkenny will have to just get on with it now, go down and give it their best shot. I know there's a couple of players picked up knocks there yesterday. Hopefully they're not too serious, because we will need a strong team against Limerick. But you can see yesterday the way Galway put it up to Limerick, you know, if you get stuck in and try matching physically there and take your scores when they arise, you know, you can get on top of them and try be as close as you can coming down to the final quarter and final 10 minutes. But it'll be tough, Pat. But look, it's a great test, and I think when Derek was starting out at the start of the league campaign, I'd say his aim was to try get into the league semi-final and see what way the draw went, and then try to get into the final. And there's a chance there of getting into the league final, getting an extra game, and the younger players are after coming into the panel. And trying to sort out the midfield and centre-back position as well. So it's an extra game now, and who else would you want it against? Only Limerick, the standard setters in the country.
All right, thanks, Ciarán. And of course, there's no TC Tyres tomorrow night. You have the night off.
We have the night off, Pat, Jeff. We'll rest up and we'll be back next Monday.
All right. Thanks, Ciarán. That's Ciarán Nari there. And just a couple of more score lines in rugby. Kilkenny there into the next round of the Provincials Town Cup. They defeated North Kildare 27-20 today, and they're going to play Gorey now in round three. So a good win there for Kilkenny in that Provincial Towns Cup. Into the third round against Gorey, win against North Kildare today. And of course, Ireland, they retained the championship, but didn't get the Grand Slam, but they won the championship. They defeated Scotland 17-13 to take that. France beat England 33-31, and well, Italy put back-to-back wins, first time ever. They went to Wales and won 24-21, and Wales heading home with the wooden spoon, I'm afraid. That's it. Thanks everyone for listening. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Tommy Dowd is up next. Bye and God bless. Take care.
Chadwick's sponsoring Sunday Evening Talk Sport on CRKC 88.7 FM.